Breaking news from the BS and Beer News Desk.
Yes, sir. The Beer Chaser. We are back. What's up? I'm Dale. We got B-Train with me. What's up, B-Train?
What's up? Glad to be here again.
Yes, sir. Closing out the preseason. The Saints fall to the Texans 17-13. Big overall thoughts here, B-Train. What you think?
Well, you know, it's not the way you want to end the season or the preseason. The Saints have never gone undefeated in the preseason for whatever, you know, that's worth. Probably nothing, though. And just want to remind everybody here that the Texans, you know, went heavy with their starters right off the bat.
They did.
Yep. And you know, the Saints in 2009, they went 3-1 in the preseason, still won the Super Bowl. So there's still a chance.
Yeah.
We're not done yet.
Yeah, it's still got a chance at winning the Super Bowl. We're not out of it yet. So everybody, come off the ledge, please.
if anybody was on the ledge because of this game, then they really need some help. But a good opportunity for some of these guys on the bubble, you know, to make one last chance at an NFL roster. It'd be really interesting to see what happens over the next couple of days.
Yep, for sure. Well, I'll be interested to see if they start the cut downs right away, but Tuesday's the deadline, right?
Yeah. And I'm just so used to over most of the past couple of decades, right? Like Sean Payton always waited till the last second to do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas you hear about other teams that have played their last preseason game over the past few days and they're already letting guys know.
Right. So, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how close to the chest the DA is going to hold it.
Yeah, starting to see some of those cuts come through on Twitter and everything like that. Let's look at this game, man. Again, Texans 17, Saints 13. Last week we talked about a lot of penalties. And this week the Saints, they had two penalties, 15 yards. Texans, five penalties, 45 yards. So they fixed this a little bit. What you think, B-Train?
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's funny. I didn't even really think about that much until after the game that it, you know, it looked a little uncharacteristically clean for a Saints game. And it looked like the refs were doing a lot of adjustments and stuff too, just to try to get ready for the season. So I am a little surprised on that. And I don't know if that's just a function of them just kind of that crew letting the guys play, or if DA really made that a big point of contention over the last week. I really hope it's the latter, because that has to get cleaned up.
Well, that was interesting seeing the referees kind of shift places later in the game and go down to, six referees versus seven or whatever, or five versus six, whatever it was.
My assumption is that was an inject they had in order to kind of stress test the system, and, you know, because sometimes that happens.
It's necessary. So I'm glad they did it in preseason, and, you know, I can't be too upset when you're missing calls in the preseason. So, you know,
that's right. I thought the officiating, you know, was okay. I thought it was fine. You know, if this was a regular season game, there's probably a couple ones on there I would have been upset about, but overall, I thought it was a, you know, pretty clean game. Not too much to complain about in that regard.
Yep. All right. So let's look at some of my notes here. I got John Trey Kirkland. He was involved pretty early. Let's look at his box score here. Let's see. Kirkland had five receptions, 63 yards, longer 19. I mean, he had 10 total targets. I mean, Jake Haener was out there looking for him. So, I mean, even Winston looked for him when he was in too. So,
yeah, he was in from the beginning. And this is one of those guys that when they first brought him on, you know, during this preseason training camp, I was rooting for him. I didn't have a lot of high hopes, but I think he's definitely made a case in what is a crowded receiver room. But yeah, I thought he looked pretty good out there today.
Yeah. Yeah. I think at the very least he's going to be on the practice squad because every time he's on the field, like, he demands targets.
Yeah.
And I mean, when a guy is getting open, like your quarterback likes it. So you got to give him a spot. So yeah. I think he could probably develop a little bit on the practice squad, and he's different than the other receivers that we have. So I like having him on the team. So.
I agree. I think he's one that we could probably slip through to the practice squad if the coach wants to take a chance there. But you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, him and some of these other guys that we're going to talk about, I mean, the whole goal of this final preseason game is you need to make it as hard as possible for the coach to make these decisions.
Yeah.
And I think Kirkland did that. So right. we'll see if he actually makes a 53, but like you said, probably a strong practice squad candidate because every other team in the league has guys like this on the bubble. So, you know, he's a local guy. I think we're going to be able to stash him on the practice squad.
Yeah. Yeah. The next note I got is punt coverage in the first quarter was pretty bad. I'm thinking about this return Tank Dell had for about 26 yards. It's not what we want to be doing on special teams.
No, not really. And, you know, just that whole punt team in general, you know, I really wasn't all that impressed today. I think Gillikin got a little more looks today than Headley did. As opposed to last week, but yeah, same with the coverage. It looked like it got a little better towards the end of the game, but early on is when you're dealing with the guys that are, you know, probably more likely to make the team. And yeah, I wasn't super impressed. And special teams is usually a strong team of this, or a strong point on the Saints team. And yeah, I didn't see anything to write home about here.
Yeah, just looking at the punting stats, Gillikin averaged 49 yards a punt. He had 5 punts. He had 2 down inside of the 20, which is good. Lou Headley only had 2 punts, average of 45, and he had 1 inside of the 20. So, I'm with you. I see Blake Gillikin as being the guy that's probably going to end up winning this punt job. But you know what? Is it possible that the Saints look outside the building for their punter?
I wouldn't be surprised because, you know, Gillikin a couple of years ago looked great. I mean, so good that we were willing to part ways with, one of the heroes of Saints lore, Thomas Morstead, to keep him. And then last year, not as great. And, you know, so far this preseason, nothing spectacular. Like, yeah, he's probably beaten out Lou Headley. But neither of them has looked all that great. I don't know that they go outside the building. And to be honest, I haven't looked at a lot of other preseason punters, but I know that the Saints staff does that. And in an area where, the Saints haven't necessarily impressed, they could easily take from another team. Like, you know, like we'll probably talk about later, our place kickers, you know, we got a good battle going on there and one of them's got to go. So with, you know, there's probably another team out there that's got, you know, 2 good punters.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, no one's carrying 2 punters, so someone's going to slip through the cracks.
Exactly. Hey, we give you a kicker for a punter.
Yeah.
You know, look us up.
You know what? I feel like it used to be more common that, guys could do both, you know, kicker and punter. You know, save a roster spot there. You don't see that anymore, though.
Yeah. Back in my day, you know.
Showing our age here.
You know, I want to say this was a college game I watched yesterday, but I think the kicker got injured or something, and like the punter had to come in and kick off, and like dude was like, "Look, I don't know what I'm doing yet." All right.
Hey, to me, that's crazy because it's like, look, they should be practicing both just in case, man. I mean,
yeah,
I thought that was the standard.
I thought so too.
But whatever. These guys are professionals, so maybe they're honed in on that one thing, you know?
Yep. So we got a comment in saying Sean Payton said he wants whoever doesn't stay in New Orleans between Groupie and Lutz.
All right, pay up. What do you got? What do you got, Sean? Right. Look, we've seen firsthand what he's willing to give away for stuff. So now maybe we can be on the receiving end of it. So that'd be nice.
You know what? Yes. Yes. Give up that fifth round pick, or fourth round pick. You don't care nothing about.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now Denver fans get to see what that's like, but yeah, I don't know. Yeah. That I could see Sean, wanting to trade for one of the kickers, and both of them are good. But you know, I don't see for a kicker, man, like someone, you know, is going to get cut here in the next 48 hours. Like, I don't think he's going to give up much more than a seventh round, but if we could get a six out of him, I'd be happy. Fifth, I'd be, I wouldn't even know what to do with myself. That'd be crazy. But I could see Sean doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. He would. Cause he just aggressive for no reason. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Like that time he traded, what was it? A six rounder to get, that dude that said he was gonna, Tommy Stevens.
Tommy Stevens, yes.
Yeah, he told him, he's like, hey, I'm gonna sign with Carolina. So he says, I don't think so, pal.
Yeah,
that's how petty he is.
He's petty. He's petty as hell, dude.
We just gotta start a rumor. We gotta start a rumor out there that another NFL team is interested in taking one of the kickers.
That's right. Yep. Bobby, we thought about that trading to Denver. But an extra punter, so
one for one, yeah, just a straight up,
yeah,
kicker for a punter. You don't see that very often. That'd be funny.
That's right. It would be pretty funny.
Yeah.
Okay. CJ Stroud and their first team offense. We did say that Houston pretty much played their first team a lot, but they had a good drive in that first quarter, and that resulted in the touchdown, and they immediately go ahead and pull them out and say mission accomplished.
Yeah, which is, you know, man, they invested a lot in this guy. So I get that they want to see him, but, you know, I defend that decision to pull him out early. And even though on the stat sheet, you know, he was 2 for 4, 16 yards, one touchdown for a passer rating of 100. I mean, you know, efficient. We didn't see a lot of him, but from what we did see, I thought he looked fine. And, you know, again, he was up against a lot of our second string defenders. So what I was kind of hoping to see, you know, what I thought would have been a really good sign for our depth is if our, you know, backups could kind of contain the rookie.
Exactly.
But I do think he's got a bright future. Personally, I liked him better coming out of the draft than Bryce Young. So I was happy that Houston took him.
Right.
And Carolina got Young. So I'm glad that worked out.
I don't know, man. I watched that preseason game. Was it Friday for Carolina?
Yeah.
And I don't know. Bryce Young looked pretty good, man. Like I think we're just banking on him getting injured at some point because he's small. But
he's a little guy.
Yeah. He moved them damn chains, though. Now, I'm telling you.
I know Saints fans shouldn't be talking about little guys at quarterback because we had Drew Brees for so long, but Bryce Young just looks small, man.
He does.
Drew Brees looked like he might be stealing an inch or two somewhere, but yeah, Bryce Young looks like a little guy.
Yeah, you're right. All right, back to the game here. The next note I have is, oh my God, Kendre Miller could have done so much more with that screen in the first quarter. This guy had a wall of blockers, and he got like 4 yards on this damn screen play. Like four B train.
Yes, that was terrible. Like, and you got to have that vision, right? Like, I know, man. Kamara, even in the 2017 preseason when Kamara was a rookie, I know that's one of his strengths is that Kamara's got that vision, right? So he can, you know, he can see those holes. But that was just gaping wide open, man. Like that would have been a huge play, and he just kind of ran into the defenders. I don't know what was going on there.
Wall of blockers. I'm telling you.
Yes. Yeah. Like at least three dudes there pushing Texans guys away. And Kendre said, nah, I'm good. I'm going to run into the defenders.
Yeah. Kendre Miller. I'm telling you, man, like you gotta get you some specs, get the LASIK like Jameis got or whatever, bro. Like,
yeah. Or do those weird workouts that, you've seen some of those workouts that Kamara does.
Yeah.
So good. And this guy came in, look, maybe I'm a hater, but he came in day one saying he was going to replace Kamara and everything.
He was talking smack, bro. You got to back that up, bro. You got to back it up.
Now, look, maybe he'll come around. I don't know. It's obviously it's preseason, 3 games in of preseason. That's it. But yeah, you know, not off to the best start.
Yeah. We're just talking about vision. At this point.
That's right.
He's got Ray Charles vision out there.
Man.
Not good right now.
That's funny.
Shoot. All right. Jimmy Graham.
Yes.
This guy is definitely on the team.
Yeah.
Winston targeted him early on, I mean, you got him posting up in the red zone, catching touchdowns.
That was a beautiful. Like that touchdown he got, they knew it was coming. You could see it from 100 miles away. The defender tried to stop it, and Jimmy said, nope, that's mine.
nothing you can do about it. He's just too big.
That's right. That was so good. I'm so excited to see what he brings in the regular season. Like, even if he's not, putting up over 1,000 yards a season, like, just knowing that he's a target in the red zone is going to be so exciting to watch.
He's got something left in the tank. So, listen, when we signed him, I immediately thought it was a one-day contract.
Yeah,
he's gonna retire in New Orleans. Hey, good job, Jimmy Graham. We appreciate you. We love you. That's what I was ready for. Okay.
Yeah, and you know, I would have been happy with just that because that's kind of what I expected. But I did not expect him to actually play. And I've been I'm really really happy that he's here to do that. Because someone on I think Saints Report posted that they saw him out in town, you know, having dinner with someone, and that's kind of the conclusion everyone had. Yeah, one day contract, but nah, man, he's out there to score.
Right,
finish strong.
It's amazing, which is going to, make it hard on DA to kind of figure out the 53, because you know you got a special spot for Graham, but you need tight ends that's going to just do some dirty work too. So
I mean, look, we got a lot of tight ends right now that aren't really tight ends. Let's be honest here. So somebody's got to be a tight end.
Yeah, the problem with having Taysom and Jimmy Graham in the same tight end room is they're not doing everything. So
Juwan Johnson, he's a wide receiver, man. I'm sorry.
Right.
He's great. He's good. I like him. He's making the team and he's gonna make an impact, but he's not a tight end.
Like Foster is like the only true tight end out there, man.
Moreau is a straight up tight end, like Jeremy Shockey style, you know. He can go out for pitches, but he's there to block too. Kroll's like a little baby tight end in training. He's getting there.
But okay, so the next point I got is about the fullback. Now maybe that's the place where we find his roster spot. But the plays I saw from Prentice, man, he was running the ball like a halfback, looking pretty good out there.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, in a league where teams are reluctant to keep a fullback, you don't see that as much anymore. Again, he's making it hard because he was running really strong out there. And a lot of times I feel like the Saints have done that in the past where they'll kind of have a tight end hybrid, you know, with a fullback. But, you know, under Sean Payton, they certainly did keep a fullback, you know, many years. And Prentice is good. You know, I like him. I thought he was running really well, and he does that hard work as a fullback. So, I don't know, man. That's going to be tough. That's going to be tough to cut him.
Yeah, I think if the Saints had more of that tight end H-back sort of guy, it would make it easier to cut the fullback. But without having that guy, you know, there on the team, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's even though a lot of teams go without it nowadays, it's still kind of an important thing. And especially with some of the running backs we have, don't necessarily pick up the blocks all that great. I wouldn't be surprised for him to stay on the team.
If Lucas Kroll was more Josh Hill like, he would definitely make the team. But I mean, his stats today, I mean, he had 7 receptions, 106 yards, 15 damn targets. I mean, Jake Haener, my God, bro, throw the ball to somebody else, please.
I agree, man. I think that was intentional. And, you know, even the broadcasters were picking up on that. Like, this is a guy that's fighting for his life out there, and he got a lot of targets towards the end. And I don't think that it's just because Haener likes him. I think that DA was calling up plays for him to try to give him an opportunity. You know, I walk away with this with, you know, no more certainty than I had before the game. Like, he had over 100 yards. He looked good when he made some catches, but there was still some drops in there and everything. So, again, it's just hard to say because they had such weak O-line play towards the end that, you know, Haener was running around for his life. If I had to guess right now, does Kroll make the team? I would say yeah, but that's a crowded tight end room.
Yeah. Yeah. we really need to do this damn roster breakdown. That's what we need to do.
I know. But here's the thing. I would say that there's like 60 something guys making the team. Like, right. You know, getting it down to 53, like, hey, that's why DA gets paid the big bucks to make these hard decisions.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh man. I didn't notice too much from Pete early on. I know he played early, but so I'm guessing, hey, if I didn't notice him, he played pretty well. I didn't see any bad things from Craig about Pete in our chat. So
I was gonna mention that actually, that at one point the broadcaster stated, they said, you know, all of the Saints starters today are resting except for Andres Pete. And I'm like, well, if you're the only guy that's not resting, then are you really a starter? You know, what does that say about you? And I like Pete. I always have. I feel like he's had a lot of haters his entire time with the Saints. But yeah, I have always liked him. I think this has been a tough preseason for him, but I he looked okay today, but again, you know, he's playing against mostly backups, but I do think that the conventional wisdom probably suggests that they're going with Hurst for that starting left guard spot. But I mean, if Pete's your backup, you know, then you could do a lot worse than that. But I don't know what's going on there, you know?
Yeah. I've been up and down with Pete, you know, cause he'll look amazing and like drive a guy into the ground or something like that. And then he's missing the next two games or something. And you gotta find another guy, you know.
That's tough, yeah. I mean, I think he's been pretty consistent. And, you know, I feel like whenever he does whiff on a block or whatever, I feel like it gets a lot of attention for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, I think he's good. I think he's a starter. Apparently, I don't know. DA's been all about competition this offseason, and apparently he feels that Hurst has done better, and Hurst is pretty good too. So I, you know, if Coach Allen thinks that he earned the starting spot, then, you know, give it to him.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Pete's definitely going to be active on game days if he is not a starter. So I'm still fine with that. Look, offensive linemen get hurt all the damn time. We still need him on the team this year. So.
Yeah, and I could be misreading this too. I mean, you know, the way I was looking at it was if he's the only, you know, quote unquote starter that's playing with the backups, then he's not really a starter. But maybe he is. Maybe Coach Allen really just wanted to see a little bit more before he makes that final decision. That's possible too.
Yeah, it's possible. He just had to get some reps because he hadn't gotten reps, you know, because he'd been hurt all offseason. So, you know, maybe that's what it was. So
that's for sure.
All right. The next thing I have is Groupie has been money, but he missed that long kick. 60-yard kick there. So are we ready to cut him now or what?
I mean, God, you know, it's hard to hold that against the guy for not making a 60-yard field goal, especially when he had the distance, you know, just a little bit to the right there. But you know, look, when all things are equal, who do you go with? You go with the guy that's been there and the guy who has actually made a 60-yarder field goal in a game. So, you know, if I had to guess, that 60-yarder might have cost him his job with the Saints, very possibly. I think kicker is one of those positions where you have to be perfect in, you know, in that one moment of time, because other positions get a lot of opportunities to make up for mistakes, but kickers don't. So I think he's looked really good, and I think he's definitely going to be a kicker in the NFL.
Right.
But that's possible that one kick may have cost him his job with the Saints. I don't know though, because, you know, he still looked really good and that was really close. If Dennis Allen likes what he sees there, he may try to get more by trading Lutz. He could probably get a little more value by trading Lutz, especially if it's to someone like Sean Payton, you know?
Yeah, for sure. But you know, that's us hoping that something like that actually happened.
True.
But so let's just say it doesn't happen. We don't get a trade for the kicker and everything, right? So we decide on a kicker. We decide on Lutz, let's just say.
Yeah.
Do you sign Groupie onto the practice squad?
Is that a
thing? Has he earned that?
Can you do kickers on the practice squad?
I mean, yeah, you can.
Man, I don't know what they do. They, you know what they did with Gillikin his first year? They like redshirted him. He was on the IR, I think, all season, right. But you know, while Morstead was still there, but you kind of saw the writing on the wall. So, that, you know, in the spirit of competition, I could see Coach Allen doing something like that just to kind of keep a fire under Lutz and, you know, also to make sure no one else gets him. You know, the only one I know about, you know, really having potential kicker issues right now is Denver. But I mean, there's 32 teams in the league and now everybody has tape on Groupie and, you know, he's looked pretty good. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if someone else snatched him up.
I wonder why Peyton cut McManus.
I don't know, man. He was good.
Right.
Maybe it's like
early on too.
Yeah. But remember when he came to the Saints, he was throwing couches out of the locker room and everything.
That's true.
Maybe did. McManus was had an Xbox in the locker room or something.
He probably did. He probably did. Like yeah, you got to make an example out of them suckers, man. When he made example out of some offensive tackle, I want to say when he first came in.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who that was.
Yeah, I can't think of his name, man.
He said there will be no lazy boys.
Right.
You know, on my team.
That was like the best offensive tackle we had, too.
Yeah. God, who was that? I'm trying to look it up right now. Oh, it was Wayne Gandy.
Wayne Gandy, that's right.
He made a big deal in his book after they won the Super Bowl, the home team, whatever the memoir that Sean Payton wrote was, that was kind of like his thesis statement. He's like, he rolled in there, saw Gandy had a lazy boy recliner in the locker room, and he said, nope, that's gone. He said, there's not going to be any lazy boys on this team.
All right. Let me see. They got some kind of article here for Payton cutting McManus. Let's see. Consistency, what you're looking for. The best interest of the team, of course. A lot of time and money. What your musts are. Oh, okay. Avoided a $3.6 million salary. That's what it was.
Yeah, that's what it is. But you know what, man? Like, that is weird because that's chump change in the NFL. And I get it that for kickers, maybe that's expensive. But like, they're guaranteeing you points every game. And McManus has always been pretty good, man. I'm trying to look up his long, he had a 61
yard. He had the record for a minute because you know, kicking in Denver, so yeah.
But let me see what his accuracy is. He's got 81% accuracy. Yeah, that's pretty good, man.
Yeah,
it's pretty exactly. Good.
I see no reason that this guy should have been cut, so
yeah.
I said it when he made the move, but like once you get into that place of not trusting your kicker, how do you ever get back there? Like,
well, yeah, and you, man, Sean was always like that though, except for, let's see, there was a couple guys like Hartley. He gave him kind of a pretty long leash, and then Lutz, he kept him around for a bit. But if you, in between those two, man, he was going through kickers pretty rapidly, and he was pretty unforgiving, man. Remember, I think they drafted a guy, what was his name?
Hawker, right?
Well, there was Hawker and Hopkins that they kind of went back and forth.
Oh, Milhav from
Milhav or whatever. Taylor Milhav.
Yeah, that's right. Taylor Milhav. That's right.
Yeah, and Wisconsin. He missed an extra point, and Sean cut him the next day in his rookie year. But that's what gave us Lutz.
Yeah,
and that was I think in 2008. So, and then obviously in 2009. I'm sorry, I said Lutz. I've been drinking. It was Hartley, Garrett Hartley, but you know, obviously he was a huge part of our Super Bowl year, so it worked out.
So yeah, I would definitely use a roster. I mean, I'm sorry, a practice squad spot on Group B if he clears waivers and everything. I'm bringing him back.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. There's probably only a handful of dudes that I really want to see on the practice squad, and they're mostly in that, you know, wide receiver category. So if they could slip him through to the practice squad, I'd be all for it, because you never know what's going to happen to Lutz. Either, you know, maybe he starts getting shaky or he gets hurt or whatever, and then you got a dude that you know right there in the room.
Yep. All right. Last little note I got here is Foskey, MIA. Let me see if he made anything on the stat sheet at all.
He had a sack. He had a sack early on, but And I, you know, it was in that moment I was like, oh, good. Okay. We're seeing some progression here. But then after that, man,
yeah, right.
just disappeared. You're right. That was a, that was a sack he shared with what's his name? Lolo. No, the sneaky athletic guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. 42, right?
Lalos.
Yeah, yeah. Lalos.
Yeah, they split a sack there. But yeah, after that, MIA disappeared. I don't know what happened to that guy. I don't know if he didn't care or if he just doesn't have a talent, but I'm over this drafting Notre Dame guys. No more. Yeah. Done with that.
Yeah, so they credited him with that one sack, tackle for loss, of course, and the quarterback hit. So, yeah, no other tackle or anything like that on a stat sheet. So,
and that's a second-round pick, man. I get it. It's early, but when you get drafted that high, the expectations are pretty high, you know. And
yeah.
I think a lot of people were excited about him as a draft pick. And, look, I understand it's early, but that's kind of what we do as fans. You know, we have to dissect this stuff.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, your guy, Nick Anderson.
He got
three tackles and a pass break up there.
Yeah.
Has he done enough to get on the practice squad?
You know, practice squad, probably. I hope so. And I don't think anyone else would you know, because everyone else is having these same kind of issues. So I don't know that anyone else would snatch him up. But in the chances he's gotten, I think he's looked pretty good. But to me, it is a little telling that we have kind of had a weak linebacker core this preseason, and he's not even remotely in the conversation, you know, and they brought in Jalen, and, you know, he looked pretty good last week. So, I would love to see Nick Anderson get onto the practice squad. The guy's a very strong leader. He was a big part of Tulane's historic year last year. So just keeping him on the team, even if it's in the practice squad, I think would be really valuable to the team. But yeah, he's probably not going to make the 53.
Okay. All right. You got any more notes here about the game that something I messed out?
No. And I think we captured all the big stuff. You know, if the Saints had gone undefeated in the preseason, I think it would have been like a playoff like atmosphere around here. You know, people would have been going crazy, riots in the streets. and I would have been joining them, but if it wasn't for the fact that we got college football next week, I'd be really frustrated by the fact that we got 2 weeks off, man. No Saints football for two more weeks. I don't know if I can make it that long.
Yeah, college football will get us through this Labor Day weekend.
Yes,
yeah, we're gonna have fun watching that stuff for sure.
Yeah. A lot of guys, I saw a lot of people online giving the Fox broadcast grief because they kept pushing Coach Prime. But it's like, look, man, I went to Colorado for my undergrad, and it's just like, let me have this, man. Come on. Yeah. They've been so bad for so long. Like, let me get excited about this.
Yo, they got the animations, Coach Prime, Rodney Buffalo. They got everything going.
But yeah, well, you know, at least we'll have a lot to entertain ourselves with college football next week. And then, you know, we got all the cuts and roster moves that are going to kind of happen this week. And then, you know, before we know it, we'll be talking injury reports for the Titans game and everything.
Yep. Hey, the week's coming up. We got fantasy football drafts happening.
Yes, sir.
College football happening. Look, it's football is back, baby. We're back. Oh, it's going to be great the rest of the year here, man. I'm telling you.
I'm here for it. I'm excited.
Yes, sir. So we'll be back for another Beer Chaser after the next game for sure. For B-Train, I am Dale. We'll see y'all later.
Out.
Who dat?
Remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BS and Beer Media. Also smash the like button on YouTube and share with friends.